Well, if you would like to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, we are working our way across the book. And today we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we are going to look at verses 20 through 26 of 2 Timothy 2. So 2 Timothy 2, starting to look in verse 20 of 2 Timothy 2. And we're going to read that together this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting to read in verse 20. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy is a book about faithfulness. The Apostle Paul is charging this young man Timothy, this man into whom Paul has built faith. Paul has built him up. And he's charged Timothy to stay faithful. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he said to him, Timothy, be strong. Be strong in ministry. In chapter 2, verse 3, he said, suffer hardship with me. And in that section, we looked at the fact that this earth is not our final home. That for the Christian, we need to have an eternal perspective. And that our passion should be for our lives to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. As Paul continues that theme of being strong and having our lives be a reflection of Jesus Christ, he challenged Timothy to always keep the Scripture at the core of who he is. The Bible needs to be at the center of your ministry. Now today, as we come to verses 20 through 26, we still have that theme of truth and at the Bible being at the core of our ministry. But Paul's also going to talk about our heart and our attitude as we use the Bible. He's challenging Timothy to be a useful servant of God. And he's going to share with him, in order to be a useful servant, you have to be usable. In order to be usable, you're going to have to stay clean. Now, in this particular passage, he's not necessarily talking about staying clean from some of the sin that's around us and tempts us. He's going to challenge Timothy that he needs to remain clean theologically. He can't allow false teachers to pull him away from what God's will is for his life. And ultimately, if we allow false teachers to pull us away from the Scripture, it will affect our daily life choices. He's also going to challenge Timothy, if you want to be a usable instrument, you need to not have self at the center of who you are. You need to be more concerned about reaching out to other people than you are about lifting up yourself. Bottom line, Timothy, you need to be an instrument that God can use. Every year about this time in the month of August, my wife and I have put up sweet corn. Usually we do it with one of our elders here at Faith Bible Church, Dave McCormick, and his wife, Debbie. And we have set up an assembly line. And at the end of the assembly line is my job. I'm the guy that cuts the corn off the cob. And Dave has these nifty corn cob cutter offer tools he's put together. I don't know. There's not a name for them. It's a wood base with a wooden dowel up the middle, and then you have a nail sticking in the top, and it's the perfect height to lay a bundt pan right over the top, and then you lay your corn cob on the nail and slice it off. It falls into the bundt pan. It's slick. Now, they are not pretty. I mean, Dave went out to his shop and put these things together. They did not come from Yonkers, and they don't come in cobalt blue and whatever the summer colors are this year. They're plywood. They look like Dave put them together. But they're very useful. A few years ago, I found this newfangled corn cob cutter offer tool. I don't know what you call that. It's supposed to be the latest and greatest thing to cut sweet corn off the cob. And I brought it. Okay, now this is the answer. But this year when it came time to do corn, we decided just to do not as much. We did enough for holidays. And I called up Dave and said, Dave, can I borrow your corn cob cutter stuff? Why? Not because it's fancy, not because it comes in cobalt blue and came from Yonkers. It's because it's useful. It works. And God's not looking for fancy. God's not looking for professional degrees, and he's not concerned about show. But he is concerned about usefulness. And so, in a very practical way, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy and instructs Timothy to instruct those under his ministry what we need to do to be useful tools for God. And that's what we want to look at this morning in 2 Timothy 2. Let's begin in verses 20 through 21. We've been seeing in chapter 2 this whole theme about false teachers out there wanting to draw people away from God's Word. And so, again, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that we've got to stay clean in our lives, meaning we've got to keep our lives lined up with God's Word and not allow false teaching to pull us away from God's parameters for our life. And so Paul uses a word picture, an example. This is an example that just fits me great because, you know, I like going into like Williams-Sonoma and Crate and Barrel and looking at all the latest gizmos for your kitchen and all of that stuff. And Paul says, now, in a large house, and this is like a wealthy house. This is like a fancy house. He says, in a fancy house, there are some utensils there that are made out of like gold and silver. Good stuff. It's the top line stuff. There's also utensils, household items, that are just earthenware, made out of wood or clay. And he says, you can't take the gold and silver stuff and put it together with the earthen stuff. Most likely what's happening in this chapter is the earthenware stuff, the stuff made out of clay and wood, was used for refuse. It's used for garbage. Probably used for human excrement. And so Paul's point is, you don't use the containers that you use to carry sewage out and put them with the gold and silver. If you do, you're not going to want to use the gold and silver stuff anymore. Very graphic illustration of Paul's point. This just hits right on the line. Saying, you want to be a useful tool set apart for God? You've got to stay separate from the false teachers who are trying to pull you away from God. It's just like taking a gold instrument and putting it next to or with an instrument of refuse. Pretty pointed comment. Verse 21. If a man cleanses himself from these, and the these in verse 21, as referring back to the vessels of wood and earthenware, verse 20, if you keep yourself clean from those, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctifying, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Remember, up in verse 16, Paul had said, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. That false teaching will affect how you're living out your life. Paul says you've got to remain a useful tool. That means you can't be led astray by false teaching. You have to deal with it. You have to remove yourself from it. Don't let it hang around in your life. This spring here at Faith Bible Church, out on the new patio to the south of the building, I think it's a maple tree or some kind of tree that drops these little seedly things all over, and those just covered that concrete. Well, there was kind of some snow and ice mixed, and it just didn't get cleaned off right away. And so it just laid there and laid there, and finally we got to get this cleaned up. Got it cleaned up, and those little seedlings stained the concrete below. We just let them lay around. And Paul said, don't let false teaching lay around in your life. If you do, if you mess with it, if you let it hang around in your thinking, it's going to stain you. That's why I don't think it's wise for a Christian to join an ecumenical study group reading some book that its basic premise is that all paths lead to God. I don't think a Christian should do that. We had a family here many years ago that put themselves under the teaching of a woman who said she was a prophet, that she spoke directly from God to them. She ended up pulling them away. And it had a direct effect on how they live their life. Paul says you don't allow people who teach things apart from the scripture to hang around in your life. It'll stain you. It'll render you so that you're not a usable tool of God. You can always find someone, I guarantee this, you can always find someone to tell you whatever you want to hear. If you want someone to tell you that it's good to use illegal drugs, you'll find somebody that'll tell you that. There will always be someone that'll tell you however you want to live your life, someone will be out there to put their stamp of approval on it. The issue is, what does God say? And if we find that we are being affected by someone who's saying something contrary to the scripture, we need to flee it. We need to get away from it so it doesn't render us useless as tools. The second point that Paul makes in verses 22 and 23 is that if we want to be a useful tool, if we want to be a worker that God can use, we've got to flee youthful lust. Now, I don't think in this context the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to stay away from sexual sin. He needs to, but that's not his point here. If you look at the verses around it, I think what the Apostle Paul is saying is, Timothy, you want to be a useful servant? Don't have a youthful attitude that the world revolves around you. Yeah, any of you have teenagers in your home? The older they get, and just y'all listen to this because it's a tendency, the older you get, there's a real tendency to start thinking that the world needs to revolve around you. My needs are what's important. It's just something that we all have to work through. to realize that we are not the center of the universe. That my needs are not the greatest needs. That what I think may not be right. That someone else can be more important than me. And Paul is telling Timothy, you flee that kind of thinking. Instead, verse 22, you pursue righteousness. You pursue right living in your daily life. You pursue faith. God is a big enough God that He can meet your needs. You don't have to grab out and try to meet all of your own needs. Pursue love. Selfless love. You pursue putting other people above you. Pursue peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Everything doesn't have to be a battle. You don't have to make everything a fight. So maybe someone did offend you. You don't have to turn it into a battle. You need to be at peace with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And by the way, notice that for the Apostle Paul, the norm is that Christians are not on an island. The Christian life is lived out in community. That's why we have community groups here at Faith Bible Church. And again, I encourage you to sign up for one of our small groups that are out in the foyer. The sheets are out there. They'll start here in September. Timothy, flee thinking that puts you at the center. One of my favorite things to do in the spring is to turkey hunt. I love turkey hunting. You get up early, like 4 in the morning. You go out and walk in total darkness. You lean up against a tree. You've got camo on. And then you just sit there, perfectly still. And just listen to the timber wake up. And after a little while, sometimes, if you're lucky, you'll hear the low drumming of a tom turkey. And it goes like, like that. It sounds like a it's lower than that, though. Sometimes I can't even hear it. I have a hard time picking it out. But it's like that. And then pretty soon, this big tom turkey will step out of the timber, and his chest will be just puffed up, and his fan of his tail feathers will just be fully extended, and he'll just be out there with his chest stuck out, strutting around. Basically, he's saying, all you hens, come see me, because I am the center of the universe. And it's right then when you shoot him. It's great. Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy, don't be strutting your stuff. Don't be thinking that everything revolves around you. You suck your chest back in, pull your tail feathers back in, and start thinking about the people around you. You know, there's a real tendency sometimes for us to puff ourselves up thinking that we are walking close with God by looking at other people's lives and pointing out everything that's wrong in their life. Paul says, Timothy, you want to be a usable instrument of God? You pursue righteousness. That means instead of measuring yourself against everybody else, you look at your own life and at your own heart and say, what do I need to change? What do I need to trust God for to change in my life? He says to him, Timothy, put your tail feathers down, and instead of having to guard your turf, thinking that if you're going to get what's coming to you, you have to grab it, have faith. Believe that God can meet your needs. You want to be a usable instrument? Have enough love for people that you put them in a higher position than you. Instead of always having to win, think about trying to be at peace with people. Look at verse 23. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, The Apostle Paul wrote in that earlier letter to Timothy this, "For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they were saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions." There are certain things that the Bible does not take a clear position on. Those things that we cannot look at a biblical principle or a clear command of Scripture, if the Scripture doesn't address it or a principle doesn't address it, we probably shouldn't be dogmatic about it and fighting about it. You remember me mentioning while I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, we had two budding pastors of America that got into a physical fist fight over who wrote the book of Hebrews. They duked it out over who wrote the book of Hebrews. That's not smart. But they're like two strutting toms, both thinking they're right, both having to win. And Paul says, you want to be a useful instrument? Humbly serve other people. The final thing that the Apostle Paul looks at is in verses 24 through 26. Useful instruments, God's workers, need to avoid just empty controversy and instead speak truth. But when we speak truth, we need to do it in gentleness. Look with me at the verses. The Lord's bondservant, that one whose sole purpose is to serve God, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. That means that if someone is wrong, and you know they're wrong, and the Bible says they are wrong, it still says that we are to speak truth with them with gentleness. Why? Because you and I cannot argue someone into right thinking. God is the one who changes the thoughts. God is the one who changes the hearts. You can have the most logical argument. You know, here's point A with its subpoints. Here's point B with its subpoints. Here's point C with its subpoints. Therefore, this has to be your conclusion. It all is logical. But if you go and try to drive that home and use this book as a sledge, trying to force someone to change their thinking, probably is not going to happen. God says through the Apostle Paul to us, speak truth, and if you know when someone is wrong theologically, speak truth, but do it gently. Do it patiently. Why? Verse 25, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, you've got a person going down a pathway this way. He's thinking wrong. His thinking violates Scripture. If you go try to beat them up with the Bible, chances are they're just going to stay on the same path they are on. The Apostle Paul says, speak gently with them, but speak truth. Why? Perhaps God will do a convicting work in their life, and God will get them to turn their course and recognize truth. You ever go to someone's house, like on a Friday night? Just, you've had a long week. You're going to go hang out with friends, maybe two or three couples. And the host couple says, let's play a game. Now, whenever that happens, my antennae go up. Oh, a game. And then you know you're in trouble if the host couple brings out Trivial Pursuit. I hate Trivial Pursuit. It is probably, in my opinion, next to Sorry, one of the worst games, Chutes and Ladders, Sorry, and I hate Trivial Pursuit. And the reason why I hate Trivial Pursuit, I am completely convinced that people who own Trivial Pursuit stay up until the early hours of the morning trying to memorize the cards. Then they have their friends come over and they beat you up. And so there's the question, and inevitably this happens. I give an answer and the person who's been memorizing the cards says, I can't believe you said that. My grandmother knows that answer. My kid knows that answer. I can't believe you didn't know that. And it's like, I'm out of here. You know, it's like, I can't believe you think that way. How ignorant you are. And you know, when we come across with that way with people, even if they are thinking wrongly, you think they're going to be interested in thinking rightly? No. I'm out of here. Just like me in Trivial Pursuit. By the way, if any of you want to invite me over to play Trivial Pursuit, I'll probably not want to play. Just cluing you in. And don't whip out biblical Trivial Pursuit on me either. It's not a pretty sight. We don't beat people up. Paul says, gently. Why? Because God is the one who does the work. You see, if you want to be a useful servant, first of all, we've got to have right thinking ourselves. If we're going to have right thinking ourselves, we've got to make sure they're not hanging out and being influenced by people of wrong thinking. You don't take a silver, gold instrument and let it hang out with a tool that's used for excrement. And that's, Paul's very pointed in that comment, but he gets his point across. You don't have your kitchen utensils next to the toilet bowl brush. It's out of here. So Paul says, you don't allow false teaching to lay on your life. It's going to stain it. Secondly, you want to be a useful instrument? You don't be a strutting Tom Turkey thinking you're the center of the universe. You put people ahead of you. And finally, he comes to the point and says, and don't be always trying to create a fight with everybody. Be gracious in your communication. Be kind. The Christian life is not modeled by a warlike attitude. Instead, we gently speak truth. God is the one who changes hearts. When we really take time and think about life and why we are here, there's probably not one of us in this room that wouldn't say, I want my life to count. I want my being here on this earth to have a purpose. We want to be God's tool. We want God to use us in a positive way in someone else's life. Paul says, Timothy, be God's tool. Continue to think rightly. Put self down and put other people ahead of you. And don't be warlike. Speak gently. Deal gently with truth. Father, I thank you for these verses and pray that you'd continue to drive them home in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be gracious men and women, handling the truth of your word accurately. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.